What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 201 of the PS4 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. It'll be probably super short episode just because this week was actually kind of dead in news. Like, it was all rumors and it's previews for Dark Souls and talking about Dark Souls and Doom betas and rumors of God of War and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, so there's hardly anything really. As far as new releases go, I know Dead Star came out. It's also the PlayStation Plus game of the month. I haven't downloaded it. I've heard good things, but I'll get to have to just download at some point. I think, did MLB The Show come out this week, or was that last week?
I want to say last week, because I remember people talking about it, but...
It kind of runs together.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't remember exactly what came out, but I don't think anything super big came out, aside from just the indie stuff. So I guess we can go ahead and just jump into the news, the three things I have open anyways. So apparently, just more confirmation. I mean, I feel like this story I see going around about how Final Fantasy VII's remakes episodes are the size of full games, I feel like that's what they said before, and I don't know why it's suddenly news again. I guess because there was an interview that producer Yoshinori Kitase had on Game Informer, where he was saying, you know, essentially it will be a full-scale game for each part of the multi-part series. If we're just looking at each of these parts, one part would be on par with the scale of Final Fantasy XIII. So it's kind of going to be, like, episodic in the way 13, 13-2, and Lightning Returns, I guess, is.
Yeah.
Which is curious because I'm wondering how will they, you know, because if you think about it, like, if it was the three discs of FF7 on PS1, you know, disc one, spoilers, ends with after Aerith's death. Disc two, you know, ends basically once before you have to go finish the game in Northern Crater. There's obviously a lot of side stuff you can do, but I feel like that's not where disc one is going to end and disc two is going to end. So it's like, I'm curious how much it'll be, because I thought, like, for a while there, people thought maybe it'd be like disc one's all Midgar. And it's like, yeah, but you do a lot of stuff in the out in the world outside of Midgar as well. And it's like, so I figured, like, it would have to be some more. Like, I'm really, really interested in what how it'll go down. I feel like there's some interesting cliffhanger bits that could happen. Like, if disc two ended, like, when the weapons wake up, after you give the Black Materia to Sephiroth, that would be interesting. Cause then, like, it, you know, it could just fade right out. They wake up, shit happens, and then all of a sudden it's just like fade to black, and then you're like, oh man. And the next is just starts and you're Cloud in a wheelchair. Or I don't remember. You don't start initially right away as Cloud in a wheelchair, but so I'd be really curious how they're gonna break it down. But it's like, as long as they're full games, it's like, you know, whatever. And if you're like, oh well, they'll just charge for money, it's like, well, it from right now it's like, well, let's wait and see how they do it. Because I'm curious if they're gonna, like, add more stuff to it.
But the biggest thing I'm curious about is how they're going to transition an RPG from one game to the next. Like, are you going to keep your items? Do you start from scratch essentially every new episode?
Yeah.
Is there, like, a base template? Like, you start at, like, level 15 in one episode, and then you start at, like, level 30 the next one, or something like that?
I'm assuming your save data carries over, like, in Telltale games. You know, like, here's your... This is what you have. It just carries over. Or, you know, just you just use the same save file. It just picks it up and reads it and goes, oh, you had this save from, you know, episode one, essentially. It's like, we just carry it over and you're that level. But yeah, it'd be interesting if there was, like, a default, if you didn't play the first game, really, second, it's like, okay, well, we recommend you should be this level in this section, so you can default bump yourself to, hypothetically, level 25. And then, but if you're already past that from playing the first game, then you don't have to worry about it, but...
Well, the other reason it's interesting is I wonder if people are going to grind a shit ton since they won't have anything else to do while they wait for the next one to come out. So if everyone's just going to be grinding a ton and it's going to be odd scaling.
Well, they could always put, like, artificial level caps in there if they want. I mean, just don't let you cap to 99. Like, you can only cap out to, like, 45 or something.
Yeah, like, caps per game.
Which might make it weirder.
Well, but I mean, it's not like... It'd be like, oh, well, I can't be 99 and then steamroll my way through the rest of the game or the rest of the games. It'd just be like, cap it at 45, and then I don't see why people would complain. It would just be like, Hey, there
people
you go.
People still complain.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but
yeah,
it's just weird, like the direction they decided to go in it. But I guess that's good because now they can. It gives me more hope that they're gonna fit everything into it, rather than like cut things out because they can't fit on a single disc or a single two discs or whatever. So now that they're gonna do all these multiple games for what we're assuming is, or what they said is full price, they're gonna fit everything on it that was in the original game.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like that walking crap that they can get rid of, I guess. Like when I think of like when you go to destroy the first reactor, like you go through a lot of different panels.
Yeah.
And really it's just there to pad it out to where you can get into random encounters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they could obviously cut that down, like it doesn't take as long to get somewhere. Especially if they have enemies, you know, active on the field, like in you know, 13 and Crisis Core and all that.
Yeah.
To where you can see them. So it's like, you know, they don't necessarily have to have these. They would be, don't have to be as big, which would be nice because I don't want to have to deal with like the same exact long ass speed routes I got to run. It's funny though because I, it'll be weird to play it, and because I was playing the PS4 FF7 that came on there, and it has that 3x speed option. And it's an option I wish every game had, just so when I replay it, I can just speed through it at 3x. It's like, oh, it's so much nicer.
Yeah.
It's just quick. I can get through stuff. I don't have to worry about this boring crap. But every game needs a 3x speed.
I've played this 4x option. I just want to experience the story.
Yep. Do that combined with the turn off encounters, and it's like, all right, let's get to it. What is that sound in the background?
Nothing.
Yeah, Izzy's playing something.
You can't hear my game playing, so I have two games playing.
I see your pling, pling.
Okay, making yourself a pancake does not count as playing a game.
I'm Chocobo Racing, thank you very much, and Michael's on the couch playing Dead Star.
Oh, okay.
And my cat's meowing. I'm going crazy.
No. All right, let's see. Next bit of news. So Umbrella Corps got delayed. It's was originally set to release in May, but it's not going to be released at the end of June, June 21st. So there's that. And then there was some more. We talked about the Division 1.1 patch that's coming out on Tuesday, last episode, I believe. They added some more information on it, saying that every named enemy in the Dark Zone is guaranteed to drop a high-end piece, but that high-end piece could also be crafting materials, not just a weapon or armor. And they're also, because they want to try to, right now there's three ways to get gear, and it's craft, purchase, or get from drops. And currently the best method is to craft weapons, since the drop rates for weapons are pretty low and you can buy weapons, but traditionally crafting a weapon is better than buying it. Just because you buy the blueprints, and if you roll bad talents on it, you can re-roll it. And it's been crafting materials, but you re-roll it and you get a new one with better stuff on it. So, and they realize they don't really want that. They don't want people to spend a ton of time just crafting. They obviously want to still have it in there as an option, but only if it's like, oh, you're not getting that one piece you want to replace on your gear. So you're like, okay, well, I'll just craft it. But they want more gear for you as an option to drop from enemies. So they're increasing that, which is nice because the drop rate is really low for high-end loot. And typically when you get it, it's always like, it's not that great. Like there are the bosses in the story missions that you replay for the challenge daily, those guys can drop high-end weapons, but traditionally in the Dark Zone, it's always like, you know, not a whole lot from the high-end enemies there. But so it's good to see that happen. They also confirmed that the supply drops that are happening, the supply drops that are happening in the Dark Zone are going to happen every hour, and it's in a random spot. And apparently, you only get notified if you're within a 4-block radius, so it's not server, or it's not a map wide, which is nice, I guess. So it'll be interesting. If it'd be cool if you could see it on the map, but not on your radar if you're not close enough. Because like you can see when people are rogue, even if they're all the way across the map, it'll show you on your radar where the red skull for a rogue player. And if you pop open your map, there is a ping that happens every couple seconds, so you can see exactly how far they are. So if you're trying to avoid them or you want to hunt them down, you can see if they're close or whatnot. But yeah, that'd be interesting. Then I think they said something else. I'm trying to look through these notes, but yeah, not much else. They also changed some of the crafting materials. So you can convert your crafting materials, your low end to high, to mid tier to high end, but they increase the amount required to craft to convert them. So traditionally it was like you need 5 green to craft 1 blue. Now they're doing 10 green to craft 1 blue.
Son of a bitch.
So if you're going to, if you do any crafting and you want to convert your materials, you got to do it now.
You're just fucking.
We're also changing the amount of materials you get from deconstructing items from 2 down to 1. Because they're trying to balance out this whole less incentivizing crafting, more killing enemies to get drops that way.
Don't do that.
Apparently. There's that. But let's see. So that again, launched on the 12th. So I'm looking forward to that. They're having a weird problem this week, actually from yesterday, where the daily resets weren't happening. They happened for the vendors, but for some reason the missions dailies didn't reset. I'm not sure exactly why, but hopefully they get that fixed. I wanted to log in today and do my dailies. And the downside to – so we talked about the changes last week for the Phoenix credits, where there's a vendor in the Dark Zone in DZ6 that only sells stuff for Phoenix credits and not Dark Zone credit. But they're changing that with the patch on Tuesday to be Dark Zone credits, which is nice. So it'll be, I have like these Phoenix credits to buy a weapon thing that I want. And I really want to get it. But it's like, do I spend the credits now and have it over the weekend? Or I just wait till Tuesday and buy it then? With normal credits, so I don't have to worry about it. So it's like I'm stuck in this conundrum where I have to decide what I want to do. And I have a feeling I'll try to wait it out and not actually do anything with my Phoenix credits. Because I'm curious what they're going to do now that you don't need Phoenix credits for some stuff. I guess the only place you can actually use them to buy something, I suppose, is in your base of operations, because there is a vendor in there, but they only require Dark Zone, or they require Phoenix credits. So I'm guessing that's the only time you would need them, and not necessarily for the vendor in the Dark Zone, which I guess would make sense, because if you're in the Dark Zone, you should be using Dark Zone credits. But so it'll be interesting to see how this changes, especially with the new gear and the way that are kind of tearing off the Dark Zone instances now to have more better match players together. So it'll be a.
So do you think the Division has longevity with any sort of endgame?
Yeah, they do. I mean, the endgame right now is just, well, so far until the incursions come in, the incursions that are coming in on Tuesday essentially are going to be a big endgame chunk. It's these really difficult missions that require everybody to work together. And I think they say to best do them is to have, you know, a tank character, a healing character, and like DPS characters, kind of like in a traditional stuff.
So they're going to be the world events that everybody originally wanted in Destiny.
Yeah, I guess kind of like that. I guess we'll see what happens after Tuesday with the patch, but we'll see. Aside from that, there's not much else in news, just rumors of God of War and stuff like that. People talking about Dark Souls. So I guess we can just jump into what we've been playing. You been playing anything new, Izzy?
I may or may not have done the trick to get Dark Souls early because I got sick and couldn't wait for it. But that, and I've been playing Gravity Rush, which is what I'm playing right now, which is what's making all the weird noises.
Jinglies.
Yep. Well, okay, so it's annoying because it comes through the speaker of the controller, which you can't turn down separately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
It's what?
It's in the same menu as your headset.
Yeah. When you hold down the PlayStation button and then you go to adjust sound and devices and it says volume control speaker for controller.
Hold on.
We just blew Isley's mind.
Isley doesn't know how to use his PS4. You can also adjust your brightness on your DualShock bar in there. You can mute your PlayStation camera microphone. You can adjust your audio mix for your party settings. You can do your output to headphones to be chat.
What's a DualShock?
You can do your volume control for your headphones.
And what exactly is a DualShock?
It's the DualShock's cousin.
Okay, that makes sense.
From the South.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gravity Rush, cool game. I started it before, but got distracted by some other game. Can't remember what I got distracted by. Mm-hmm. Now I'm actually going through and playing it. A lot of fun. Surprisingly cool to whip around and change gravity. And then Dark Souls 3, which, you know, can't spoil yet, but will spoil in like 3 days.
Yeah, well, you spoil that with someone else because I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
What?
Because I'm not playing it day one. I'm playing other things still.
What other things?
I'll be playing in Division because the patch comes out on Tuesday. I'm still playing Far Cry, and I'm still bouncing back and forth between The Witness. Every now and then I'll do a section, and then StarCraft. So I don't have time for Dark Souls right now. I'll play it later.
Go finish that shit.
Well, I'm not going to finish it by Tuesday, and I've been no rush to play Dark Souls. So
failure.
I'll play it at some point. Just I don't need to play it right now. I know what to expect, and like I said, I prefer the Bloodborne world, so I'm not like a huge Dark Souls world or lore fan. So I'll play it when I get to it.
It's the same game anyway.
Just you.
I know exactly what to expect.
I've watched all of them. I know.
But I look forward to playing it. Just I don't need to play it right now. Let's see. So I guess like, what are you even playing, Zaya?
Chocobo Racing.
Just Chocobo Racing.
Yeah, I downloaded Dead Star like the day that I could do it, and I was like, oh cool, new shooty space game I get to play, it's gonna be really fun. And then I raced chocobos all week for like 5 hours a day.
Nice.
Because I don't know why, I just got really addicted to it. So but I played Dead Star for like 20 minutes or so, and then my jackass stole the controller and was like, eat your breakfast, don't play video games.
What a jackass.
So he's playing it now. But it's fun. It's
makes
kinda,
sense.
It's different than what I thought it was going to be, but it's still kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's more StarCrafty and less bullet helly than I thought it was going to be. So, but it's cool. It's fun.
It has amazing concept art.
It does. It looks really cool. The ships are cool. The backgrounds are cool. All the like designs and stuff. I like space shooty games, so it's exciting. Pew pew pew.
Pew. Yeah, I already talked about what I've been playing with the Division primarily, but that game, just a ton of fun. So it's like everybody on my, I still want to go back and play Rainbow Six Siege though. Like that's a game. It's like I want to play it, but I'm like, oh, let's talk in Division for a little bit, and then I end up running with a group. The only good time is when the group's already full, and then I can like, okay, well, I'll just do my dailies and then log out and play some Far Cry.
But, like any other MMO, you're like, I'm just gonna log on for a little bit and do my stuff, and then 6 hours later.
Yeah, it's like running around the DZ and like shit goes down. I'm like, all right, yeah. Oh, there's rogues. Let's go kill them. Oh shit, in the DZ. Oh, what? It's past after 12. God, I gotta go to bed. But which is me like every night almost. It's like, god damn it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game's fun. But yeah, other than that, I guess that's basically it. I mean, I know we're close to E3 is coming up soon. I mean, we got less than 3 months. So,
oh, geez, it really is.
Yeah, I'm curious how much stuff will be leaked or pre-announced like they do.
Well, I mean, possibly the PS 4.5, if that really is a thing.
I'm assuming the companies that are doing their own event and not going to E3, I'm assuming they'll announce stuff beforehand and then show it at their events. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that's what they'll do because they'll want to get people excited, I guess, for their separate event versus just E3.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of expecting some announcements on new exclusives. We haven't really had... This generation's been kind of odd. There haven't really been a whole lot of PS or Xbox exclusives that have been system sellers yet.
Yeah.
I mean, Bloodborne, very good exclusive. Loved it. And then aside from Bloodborne, I mean, really the only one I can really think of for PlayStation that might have sold was Infamous. And beyond that, there haven't been a ton of like huge exclusives out yet.
Yeah, really right now this gen is just like which one has the library that you want. It's more like an amalgamation of games that like there's no one game, but there are multiple games that you could get that, you know, there's all these indie games in PS4. There's Bloodborne, you know, you'll have Uncharted soon. You have Until Dawn, you have these other games, and they're all like not one necessarily will make you buy a system, but altogether, it's like just go with that one. Which is kind of what the end of last gen, I remember there were games that people would argue like, oh, this is the reason to pick up this console, you know, for last gen. But then it's like at that point, they were so late. It's like just get it and play these series that you missed that were it's a huge library that you missed out on, you can play. But
I don't know. I mean, I pretty strongly feel that The Last of Us was basically a system seller, and that was near the end of the life cycle.
Yeah.
But like I said, then they tack onto that, like, this is great, but if you get the PS3 now for this game, you also have this giant library. So there's, outside of the one game, there was the incentive of there's a ton of other stuff you can get. Like, you can play the entire Uncharted series. You can play, you know, all these other games. You got this whole back catalog now. So it's not like, you know, typically it's like a system selling game is always when the systems start selling. It's never at the end of life cycle where there's already, you know, millions and millions and millions of a console out. So it's always like within that first couple of years where it's not like not the end of life cycle. I wouldn't consider that a system seller, more just like if you never caught on, I guess you can get it, but I don't know how you don't have this console already. Whereas you typically do want the system sellers within that first 1-2.5 years.
Right. Which we never really got them. And I mean, I'm fine with that. I still love my PS4, but yeah. Xbox never, neither has really caught them yet.
That's why I always thought it was weird at the launch when I listened to like these other podcasts, and I was like, yeah, there was no like, there's nothing good at launch for these consoles to get and everything. And I'm like, while there might not have been like a huge standout thing to get, it's like all the, you know, like, especially in the argument was, well, all these other games that are coming out on PS3 and Xbox 360 earlier, like Call of Duty, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed, stuff like that. It's like, well, if I want the PS4, I'm going to buy those games on that because I want the better versions. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's, I want the better stuff on Battlefield because I'm not playing Battlefield 4 on PS3. So I'll have it run better on PS4. And then I'll have the better looking Assassin's Creed. And then I'll have, you know, Killzone and all the other stuff I'll play. So it's like, I was fine just buying these better games that were cross-platform or cross-gen and having the better ones.
So while I don't think it will happen, my dream E3 announcement would be to find out what the other project Naughty Dog is working on this.
I doubt they'll say anything.
Oh, yeah, I don't. There's almost no chance that they would announce that right after Uncharted came out. Mm-hmm. However, that would by far be like the best announcement I could get out of E3. Yeah.
I want a more than 10-second long Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, and that's all I want out of
E3. Yeah, right. Not just hit Sora and then a bunch of those little thingies running at the screen.
Yeah. And another... some kind of like actual announcement and not another like handheld or mobile game. The mobile game's really fun, but I want to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I think I've waited long enough.
Maybe you'll get an announcement for an announcement again.
Oh, yes.
Square Enix is really good with those.
Yeah.
They'll be like, please be excited for whatever. Please look forward to.
The 15 like event was kind of cool, but I feel like that could have been part of a larger event. Like, it didn't need its own release party thing. Release date release party. I don't know.
The 15 event, I liked it in terms of the fact that they're actually making 15 more of a spectacle since, you know, otherwise it would have just caused a shitstorm if they just released the game, but... Mm-hmm. I do agree. I think Square Enix really needs to work on how they announce things and how they present information.
Yeah.
Like, why announce any of these projects 10 years in advance if they're not even close to fruition? Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm hoping like anything that's announced at E3 this year will pull the Fallout 4 treatment, where they go, here's this game, it comes out this year. Like, at least the majority of it anyways. I hope that happens. But
My dream E3 is like, here's a really cool, lengthy, like feature full trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3. It comes out in December. Yeah.
And it's like, here's,
like, please, just please.
Here's Watch Dogs 2 comes out in November or something. It's like, here's these games. But so hopefully they do that. But that means that suddenly the holiday season is going to start getting packed, because you'll have, you know, all these games that are going to be coming out. I also forgot that Zaya keeps dropping in and out with the mic. Well, I just see your icon go red.
It's my cat.
It looks funny. I'm like, is she going to leave?
It's my cat.
I forgot Ratchet & Clank comes out next week as well.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The game or the movie?
The game. The movie comes out later in April. I think April 20...
You mean the game based on the movie based on the game?
Yeah.
Did you see that trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the movie comes out on the 22nd or 29th, but the game comes out next week, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, so I'm going to have to pick that up. Because I never did play the Ratchet & Clank games, but I was like, you know what? Since they're doing like a reimagining or retelling of the game, it's like, I'll pick this up and give it a shot. So
they're really good games.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And they look fantastic now.
I never played really any platformers on a PS2. So
I think Ratchet & Clank always just kind of got lost, and then when they made the transition to PS3, it was never really, and I'm talking on my ass here, but I don't think it was ever really a huge seller on the PS3.
The one on the PS3, Crack in Time, I think it was one. That one sold a ton. Like, that was hugely popular.
But I mean, either way, I'm assuming it's just a smart move to try to reintroduce Ratchet & Clank to everybody, considering you've got a lot of people that switched over, and PS4 is the first console they've owned.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people already see, a lot the reviewers, I guess, have already seen the movie. They just can't talk about it yet because of embargo, but I'm curious how that'll turn out. I have a feeling...
I hope it's good.
I have a feeling an animated video game movie would do much better than, you know, a live-action video game movie, but... But yeah, we'll see. Other than that, I think that's basically, I thought about doing 20 questions, but I didn't have anything prepared, so I can't really do any trivia. Plus, it'd take like an hour, I guess.
What? Probably. No, we got better at it. Well, we're probably worse at it now.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I get a little not as great as, but...
We don't remember the key questions we have to ask.
Yeah. Like, you end up asking these things, they're just like blowing questions. You're like, this isn't working.
I'm just talking out our ass for 20 minutes again.
But we do need a secret word. Let's see. What was it last time? Last time we had Zen for Zencaster.
Zen.
Well, because we're using Zencaster to record. Yay. So we use Zen.
Pancake.
Easily has to pick.
Pancake? All right. Pancake.
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 Maximum pancake.
So pancake is a secret word.
I'm assuming there's a story behind maximum pancake and why.
No,
that exists.
I'm very excited that I finally got the pancake outfit, because I had the butter pat, but I couldn't get the pancake outfit, and I finally got the pancake outfit, and I was like, "Yay! I'm finally full pancake!" And then I made a really stupid picture on MeFoto.
MeFoto.
Makes sense.
Man, it's funny. This program shows me the waveforms and Izzy's waveforms like every time. They're just at max. It looks funny. It's never like a gradual buildup. It's just, it's at max. I'm curious how it'll sound once I run the post-processing.
I hope it sounds like I'm just like screaming at you during this entire podcast.
You're not even screaming. It's just like loud and sometimes scratchy. But like I said, the post-processing of this is really nice, because the last episode we did it, Zaya was a little quieter. And to our traditional way I record, I can't adjust anybody's volume because it's all one audio track, whereas this is separate audio track. So if I wanted to, I could manually do it, or I can have Zencaster do it on its own. And it did a good job last episode. So hopefully it does real well on this one. But all right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.